There's a lot of guys here. Okay, I didn't think there'd be so many people. I thought it was more like a guy last night by the Hanukkah Masibah. I was asking why do we eat donuts on Hanukkah? So everyone knows the regular reason with the oil, right? You're supposed to eat oily foods, right? He said because the Yevanim, I'll tell you who said it, and then you guys really appreciate it. He said the Yevanim were very into their bodies. So we eat donuts to destroy our bodies. Dovi Brakal said it. Okay. It was very funny at the time. Okay. So we're Hanukkah. We're more than halfway through Hanukkah. Right? What? We're more than halfway through Hanukkah. I'm sorry, my glasses are dirty. I was driving in the rain. And my windshield wipers weren't working. Driving. It's the same thing, no? Okay, great. So we're in the middle of Hanukkah. We're like halfway through, and you know, we're warming up a little bit. And I was thinking about Hanukkah, and we have two Gishmaka Derabanan Yontivs. Everyone knows Derabanans. What? Shavu Lamar. How many Derabanan Yontivs? We have Hanukkah and Purim. Right. Hanukkah, a lot more. There's a lot more like family time, warmth about Hanukkah. People have much better memories about Hanukkah. People don't really have much memories about Purim at all. For sure not like warm, like fuzzy home memories. Maybe there's a few people, but most people they just remember a lot of throw up. That's mostly what they remember about Purim. But there is these two Derabanans, two Mitzvah Derabanans, two Yom Tovim Derabanans. And what's the difference between the two Derabanan Dika Yom Tovs? On Hanukkah, we try to add learning. We add Shem Lamar program, and we give donuts by Second Seder, and we do those type of things to learn more. We have a speech now. They made me come in for a speech now. That's what type of things we do on Hanukkah. On Purim, they don't ask anyone to speak. Okay? They want everyone to stay out of the Beis Medrash, throw up somewhere else, find somewhere else, go to somebody's house and throw up there. Do not throw up in yeshiva. Don't be in yeshiva. Get out of here. There's like a Vesikin minion if you want to learn a little bit. Like they have like a Vesikin minion for the guys who really want to learn. What, Gershi? I know in Chabad they do Purim a lot of days of the year with other things, but we're talking about for the rest of the Jewish. Yes, I know. So, what's the difference between Purim and Hanukkah? Why Purim are we not doing what we do in Hanukkah? Why in Hanukkah are we doing what we do in Hanukkah? So, the simple understanding is that what happened to us on Purim and what happened to us on Hanukkah? What's the story? On Purim, they try to kill us. Haman wanted to just wipe us out. He wanted to wipe the floors with us. He wanted to kill every single Jew. He didn't care if you assimilated three or four times. No, that was Hitler, but it's the same person. Same story. I'm sorry I went to the Holocaust event, but they want the same. They want to kill all the Jews. They don't want to have anything to do with the Jews. Jews should be killed. They're worse than dogs. Okay? On the other hand, on Hanukkah, they couldn't care less if we were Jewish. You know, we could be American Jewish or Yavan Jewish. Like, you know, we could be Jewish with all our, as long as we get with the program, you know. They didn't want these old rabbis walking around down the street with ripped jackets and like, oh yeah, like in Yavin. You're ruining the whole look, you know. You can't have that look. It doesn't work. The beard, the thing, it just doesn't settle well with them. You know, it doesn't sit well with them. Like, how, what in the world? Seriously, like, get a life, man. Deodorant. Do you know what deodorant is? New invention, okay? Use it. Okay, it makes you smell very nice. They just couldn't get it. They saw like combs, like a comb. You know what a comb is? A brush. You like these type of things. They couldn't get it. We let you be Jewish. Be Jewish. Do your thing. Okay, fine. You know, you want to eat latkes and donuts. Do eat latkes and donuts. It's fine with us. But we can't have this whole like you take off a certain day of the week. You guys have a whole different calendar. Like you guys are doing your own. You're running your own show in the middle of our show. It's not gonna work. It cannot work for us. So they didn't want to kill us physically. They wanted to kill us spiritually. They wanted to take away who we are. So therefore, on Hanukkah, to get back at them, what do? We get more spiritual. We sit down and we learn Shema Lamar. We learn more. We add in our learning. We're supposed to, at least. I'm not saying what we physically do, but we're supposed to. On Purim, on the other hand, that's not what it's about. It's not about adding learning. They wanted to kill us physically. We get out there and we party. We show them we are alive. We are the most alive. We're more alive than anybody. We know how to party hard, and that's it. That's what we do on Purim. But these are the two things that happen. So now, the question that begs to be asked is, on Purim, what they do in the Megillah, the story of the Megillah, right? Everyone knows the story, right? Everyone knows the story? It's not in Shem Lamar? The story? Next year. One of the stories should be Purim. So well, the story is that after they wanted to try to kill them, what did they do? Mordechai called everyone in Klal Yisrael and he said, come into the Beis Medrash. Everyone should come into the Beis Medrash and daven. As opposed to what happened in Hanukkah, the Maccabees went and they went to war. If on Hanukkah they wanted to take away our Yiddishkeit, we should have went into the Beis Medrash and davened, not gone to war. And on Purim, if they were trying to kill us, then's when we should have went to war. So why did we do the opposite things on Hanukkah and Purim? In the Megillah and what we actually did during Hanukkah, we should have done the opposite way around. So I think the understanding is like as follows, that it's love time, yeah? Good. The understanding as follows, that when Goyim want to kill us for who we are, that is something we did wrong to Hashem. We did an Aveira. And that's what we know. We ate at Achashverosh's party, and we did an Aveira. So we did an Aveira. We deserved a punishment. And that punishment was that Hashem was going to kill us. So what did we need to do to answer that? We needed to do tshuva. Tshuva, you do in Beis Medrash. You get to Beis Medrash and you daven. And that's what they did in the Megillah. But when Goyim are trying to take away our Yiddishkeit, that's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving us a punishment. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to make a punishment that the Goyim should take away our Yiddishkeit. What was a Kodesh Baruch Hu? What was that? That's the Yetzirah. That's just a big bad Yetzirah. But it's the Yetzirah. He's trying to take away our Yiddishkeit. When the Yetzirah is ready to take away our Yiddishkeit, it's not the time to daven. You take out your sword and you go chop off some heads. You let them roll. You let the Yetzirah let know, hey, this ain't going to happen. We're going to war. We are going to fight this. I want to bring this out with a story. I know you have a 7 o'clock. You asked me. I answered it. Okay, good. See, that's what you're supposed to wait with your questions. Everyone knows Holocaust stories. There's a lot of Holocaust stories. I don't know too many Holocaust stories about Megillah. I don't know too many. I never heard a story yet about the Holocaust where a guy gave Mishloach Manos with Hamantashen, even though he was in the concentration camps. I never heard of such a story. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just didn't hear such a story. But there are stories in the Holocaust of a Menorah. There are several stories of Menorah in the Holocaust. Why? Because there, they were fighting our Yiddish. When you're fighting our Yiddish guy, that we're going to fight right back on, head on, war. The Chofetz Chaim said that in communist Russia, we should have went out with swords and we should have killed the communist. Stalin, we should have killed. Hitler was Haman, and Stalin, he said, he was whoever the story is with now. You know, what? I don't know what his name is. I forgot his name. What's his name? Antiochus, yeah, that guy. Right? Him. We should have fought him. He was like Stalin. That's what we should have fought. I just read a story from Yitzhak Zilberstein. He writes a story about a couple who lived in Australia. They both went through the Holocaust, and they moved to Australia. And they moved to Australia for good reasons. They wanted to like move to the end of the world, and they were done with Yiddishkeit. That's it. This is too much for them, and you cannot judge them. Let's put it that way. We were not there, so we can't judge them. But that's what they decided. And they brought up kids, and for whatever reason, you know, in his head, he decided when his son turned 13 that he's making him a big bash birthday party. I guess in Australia they don't have a sweet 16, so he stuck to the 13 of the Judaism, but he wasn't a practicing Jew, and he wasn't a bar mitzvah. He didn't call it a bar mitzvah. Okay, he didn't come to the coastal and throw the candies. They didn't do that. They just been having a birthday party. And he told his son, listen, we're gonna go out to the town, whatever, what's the town in Australia? Sydney? Let's call it Sydney. They can go to Sydney, right? Sydney's in Australia? Yeah, see, I'm good. They go out to Sydney and they go to the city. And he tells his son, listen, we're gonna go to all the shops. You can get what you want. I'm gonna let you buy what you want. You can have it. Okay, great. They're going to all the shops, and his father takes him to Best Buy and the Apple Store. I think they have one in Sydney already, yeah? Yeah. I'm sure they have one, right? Thanks. So he takes him to all the shops, and his kid is like, he's looking. And sure enough, the kid sees like an old Judaica store, like stuck between like, I don't know, a shoe store. I don't know what you ever even call a shoe store in Australia. And one of these, one of them stores. And like a big electronic, and stuck between is like this little Jewish store, old man sitting behind the counter, you know? And they're selling Judaica stuff. And the kid's like, this store looks interesting. Let's go to this store. And the father's like, no, that store we're going to. He's like, no, let's go to this store. And the kid, 13-year-old son, pulls him into this store, and there's all the Jewish stuff. There's Schaefer's, and there's, I don't know, what else do we have? We have Tisha B'Av shoes, and Hanukkah menorahs, and all different stuff all over the shoe, all over the store. And the kid's looking around, and of course he's like, oh, what's this? And he sees a nice little candelabra, and he's like, a wooden candelabra. And he's like, Dad, that's what I want. He's like, that's what you want? He's like, I'll bring it to school. I'm going to be the kid of the class. I went to get pick whatever I want. I want that. Okay, he wants a menorah. That's what he's going to get, you know. He goes to the store owner. The store owner's like, oh, that's not for sale. He's like, it's not for sale. Why not? Like, he's like, is there anything for sale? Most of the stuff is not for sale, he said. It's all just like for looks. I have a collection. So he's like, okay, seriously, like, how much are you going to sell me that for? Now, he was a well-to-do person. He's like, it's not for sale. So he said, okay, listen, I'll give you $20,000. You know, I don't know. Just tell me how much. He's like, oh, $20,000. Okay, $20,000. A Jew will sell for $20,000. He'll sell anything. He'll sell his mother for that price. But he will sell something. And he sold the guy, right? And sure enough, he sold him this menorah. And the kid comes home with this wooden menorah. It was literally made like little pieces. Now the store owner, I told him why he's not selling it. He said, this menorah went through the Holocaust. It was built in the... Not in a camp. It was built in, what are those things called? Ghettos. It was built in the ghetto. Not that ghetto. You know, there's two types. I mean, like in Europe ghettos. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about? The Jewish ghettos, right. Right. That type of ghetto. So it was built there, and he said that it went through the Holocaust. And I shouldn't make Holocaust jokes?
Black jokes.
Oh, black jokes. Okay. It went to the Holocaust, so that's why I didn't want to sell it. Okay, sure enough, the kid brings it home, and you know, he brings it to school the next day. He was probably the nerd of the class, but okay. He came home with a wooden candelabra. Like, great, your dad bought you a wooden candelabra. You could have got the iPhone 4, or whatever they're up to, 14. Whatever the number they're up to, you could have gotten that. No, I chose this. Electric bike? Nope, I wanted a wooden candelabra. Fine, and in school, on the way to school back home, he sure enough, the kid dropped it. Now, when he dropped it, it broke all apart. Okay? It was wooden. It was like really junky wood. And there was a letter inside, in between, stuck between two pieces of wood. So the kid's like bringing home all his wood pieces with this letter. And he's like, Dad, look. And it wasn't written in a language he could read. And he says, look, Dad. And the dad's like, you dropped the menorah? He's like, it was like $20,000. He's like, yeah, but look, there was a letter. He's like, a letter? That's what I care about. Okay, the dad opens the letter. And the dad starts reading the letter, and he starts bawling. And the father tells his son, he's like, you're not going to believe this. My father made this menorah. And in the letter he wrote that he's making this menorah, and he's asking anyone who ever uses the menorah, he says, I don't even know if I'm going to live to light this menorah. And even if I live for day one, I don't know if I'll be alive day two. I'm asking anyone who has this menorah to please light it. L'zeich and Nishmasi, and to say Kaddish for me. And he signed it, and it was his father's name. And he realized his own father had made this menorah. The Mesiris Nefesh, to put in a menorah in the World War II, during World War II, that's what came over. And eventually his family, obviously, was Chozer B'Tshuva, and Rabbi Zilberstein gave over the story. And this is where you see the power of Chanukah, what happened when they were trying to attack us spiritually. That's what stayed out. That's what really came out. And in the darkest of times, we've always managed to get a menorah lit, and that's what we do. We don't always get drunk on Purim. Seriously, in all these dark times, we don't get drunk on Purim. But Hanukkah, we try wherever we are. That's the point of Hanukkah. That's the message of Hanukkah. And everyone should have a freilichen and lichtigen Hanukkah. Share my voice. Yeah?